Hey everybody, Colt here. Thanks for stopping by and checking out our podcast. If you like what you hear and you want to hear more, be sure to check out our website, draftdive.com, or follow us on Twitter, @draftdive and @_ColtWilliams. Now, enjoy the episode.
Welcome back, everybody. It is another edition of the Draft Dive Fantasy Football Podcast. We're back for our only show this week. Just did a quick write-up of the waivers, but back for the starts and sits here. I'm Jonah, joined as always by my co-host Colt. Colt, how's it going?
Doing pretty well. Yeah, I mean, we just wrapped up recording here on Thursday night. We just got done watching the Bears-Panthers game. If you started anybody that wasn't named Deonta Foreman, I feel like you're probably pretty upset. It wasn't a sight. I mean, this might be one of the Saw trap type of games. If you watched any of the Saw movies, they would probably have forced you to watch this game here again. It wasn't something I was very pleased watching personally.
Yeah, it wasn't the most entertaining game. We did get an ISM sighting, which always excites me. So go ISM.
But yeah.
Besides that, probably not too exciting.
Yeah, no, it wasn't something that we I mean, I probably wouldn't let my kids see this game here. But nevertheless, there are better games here this week, and we've got some starts and sits going into them. I'm going to go ahead and kick us off here with my start of the week at the quarterback position. I'm going with a guy who's making his season debut. We're talking about Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray here at the Falcons, or sorry, versus the Falcons, playing at home, which is even, you know, a bigger ordeal for Kyler. He doesn't have to travel. But the Falcons, they're second worst against the quarterback over the past month, sixth worst on the season. They're more of a pass funnel defense. Kind of a layup here for Kyler if he was going to come back. I mean, I think it was the Ravens and the Browns the weeks before. So I'm personally not afraid of any kind of rust. I don't think it's going to be his best game of the season, nor do I think he's going to run a ton. But I still think on the week, he's probably around quarterback 10, quarterback 12, in between there, like a low-end quarterback 1, just given his talent and the matchup. He's a quarterback who is averaging 20 points a game, over 20 points a game, since 2020. Not many quarterbacks can say that. I know a lot of that's come with his rushing ability, which that's, you know, to be determined on how he's going to be able to use that. But Kyler Murray, I'm throwing him back in there. I've waited on him all season, you know, for plug him in once he got in. And this is a guy, like I said, I'm plugging in against the Falcons.
Yeah, you got to be a little nervous with the guy on his first start back. But yeah. I mean, I'm a big Kyler Murray fan. I believe in Kyler Murray. I think he'll do well. He's, you know, clearly an upgrade at their quarterback position, though Dobbs filled in well. Certainly an upgrade from last week when they couldn't do anything. I like Kyler Murray going in. I always get a little nervous with quarterbacks making their first start back.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, certainly some speculation on how he's gonna play on the first game.
Yeah, and I'm gonna go with a rookie quarterback, which is also scary for its own reasons, but Will Levis has a very nice matchup this week against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay does not have a good secondary. Second highest passing yards per game, third highest yards per attempt, and eighth most passing touchdowns. So I would look for Will Levis to continue his solid to good play, at least for this week. The matchup sure works for him, and he's been looking pretty good out there.
Yeah. I mean, you wanted a little bit more. I think it was last Thursday against, what was it, the Steelers? Is that who they played? But yeah, you would have wanted a little bit more there. But you know, especially coming off the 4-touchdown game, maybe he set the expectation too high. But he didn't look bad, and now he gets Tampa, who has, you know, is the worst against the pass over the past 4 weeks. Yeah, I mean, this is a layup for, Will Levis, if he was ever going to throw it a ton, this is a matchup to do it. I love it. I'm going to a running back here, my running back start of the week. I'm going Kenneth Walker versus the Commanders. Now, you may be saying, I've been playing Kenneth Walker every single week. And, I mean, if you've played him the last 2 weeks, that's been pretty bad. I mean, back-to-back weeks where he was out-snapped by rookie running back Zach Charbonnet. He didn't have good weeks in those weeks. I've been trying to buy low on him in a lot of my leagues just simply because, I mean, he played the Ravens, he played the Browns. Both are less than ideal matchups. They're probably bottom of the barrel as far as matchups go for any position. And, I mean, he gets the Commanders now, who are kind of a get-right matchup. They're eighth worst against the running back over the past month, and that it doesn't include that they just, I mean, it was only a week ago that they lost their two defensive key players. So, yeah, I think this is a get-right game here for Kenneth Walker. I'm not too worried about Zach Charbonnet. He might even be able to eat a little bit too in this game. But, yeah, Kenneth Walker is a full, solid start and stud here this week for me.
Yeah, no, it's looking good for him. He's certainly got all the talent in the world. And, yeah, he's just coming off a couple of real tough matchups. So, good to get him back in a game where he should look like his normal self again.
Yeah, let's hope so. It doesn't take many touches.
No. I'm going to go with the guy who I'm not sure if you've been starting or not, because I've actually got him, and he's found his way to the bench for, some time on my team. But Najee Harris, I think Najee Harris has a good game this week. And he's put together 2 weeks, one okay week in the past 3 weeks. So he's starting to return to the Najee Harris that everyone expected to see. And the Packers have not been good against the run. They're bottom 10 in basically every category against the run. So I think Harris has a nice get right game here too. Another good week for him, and hopefully should make it four solid weeks in a row. He's getting the red zone carries. Warren isn't. So I think that Harris gets right this week as well.
Yeah, he's looked kind of not great all season, but looked good here last week. And then if you kind of think about it, last year, coming off the bye in week 9, from weeks 10 to 18, he only had, two games under 10 fantasy points, and even then it was 8.9 and 9.7 and half-point PPR scoring. He was great to finish off the season. I mean, certainly serviceable, reliable, and that was coming with almost no passing volume. I mean, if you look at any of his games, there are a ton of games with zero catches to one catch. And, maybe he just plays better in the cold weather, kind of gets going while everybody else is kind of getting beat up for the rest of the season. So, yeah, Najee Harris is somebody I'm trying to buy low on as well. I think people will probably be willing to make that deal too, given really is only one good game on the season. I'm going to go with a wide receiver here. It's kind of a familiar name. We've talked about him in the past. I'm going Calvin Ridley versus the 49ers as my start of the week at the wide receiver position. I identified Calvin Ridley as somebody who we wanted to start in week 8 when he had a favorable matchup versus the Steelers. And in that game, he certainly delivered for us at one of his best games of the season. Now against the 49ers, who are surprisingly third worst against the wide receiver over the past month and on the course of the season. So, just in general, the 49ers have been giving it up through the air. And, yeah, I mean, Calvin Ridley kind of fits the mold for that. Could it be a Christian Kirk week? Certainly. But Calvin Ridley's more the big play guy. I think it's a Calvin Ridley week here this week.
Yeah, San Francisco hasn't been shutting down the pass. I mean, it's obviously a very talented defense. Mm-hmm. They traded for one of those Commanders talents, and they've got a lot of skill there, but they aren't shutting down the pass. So that's just kind of what it is. It seems like they should, but they're not.
Yeah. I was shocked to find that they're third worst against wide receivers. I like I said, I've kind of seen it with the way that people have been putting up points, but you put the actual stats together. I looked at it and I'm like, wow, shocking.
Yeah. And I'm going to go with a name that's familiar, but probably hasn't been starting too much, but has quietly put together a few good weeks in a row here. And I think he might break out this week. And that's Cortland Sutton taking on Buffalo. So Buffalo's pass defense is average. They're middle of the pack against receivers, but they're going to be throwing the ball quite a bit to keep up with Buffalo's offense. And yeah, he's had 3 good weeks in a row, had a bye week. So coming off of that, feeling fresh, I think Sutton works his way into, top 24 receiver this week.
Yeah, I like it. And we know the Bills are going to, even though their offense have been kind of struggling, we know they're going to put up points. So Denver's going to have to deliver. It's going to be through the air. And yeah, Sutton is a guy who's been catching a ton of touchdowns. I mean, Jerry Jeudy finally had one, I think his first one of the season last week. But it's been Sutton as far as red zone goes. So yeah, that's going to be that's a good start of the week there. A sneaky one, to be honest.
Yeah. Tried to go a little deeper.
Yeah, no, I like it. I'm going to go maybe this is a little deeper take as well at the tight end position. My tight end's start of the week is Hunter Henry versus the Colts. They're playing in Germany. The Colts have just been absolutely awful against the tight end all season. You combine that with Hunter Henry, who now finally saw a higher snap share, which snap share isn't everything, but Kendrick Bourne is, out for the season. Devontae Parker was out last week. He's also already been ruled out here this week. It lines up for just another week of Hunter Henry getting a good amount of work. It's not amounted to much on the ground, as far as yardage, but, always a chance for a touchdown, which is kind of all you can look for, and also a nice matchup here. So, yeah, Hunter Henry's a guy, you're not going to get much in yardage, but if you need some catches and always an upside shot at the touchdown, Hunter Henry, you could do worse for sure.
Yeah, Henry's a good bye week fill-in, definitely. I took your advice last week and went with Cade Otton.
Oh, yeah.
And was pleasantly surprised with that. A nice fill-in for George Kittle for sure with 2 touchdowns. So, Hunter Henry, he scored again last week too, I think. So
he did, yeah.
He's definitely touchdown threat. I'm going to go with a guy, it feels a little cheap, but Trey McBride, for the reasons you kind of already talked about with Kyler Murray coming back. I want to see Trey McBride with a good quarterback back there. As I said, Joshua Dobbs did fine. He was a good fill-in for the Vikings too. But I want to see Trey McBride with Kyler Murray back there. I'm excited to see what he can do. He could really vault into the elite pretty quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we kind of knew it was going to be a bad outing for him last week playing against the Browns. We just kind of had that written all over him. It made sense. They're a horrible matchup for the tight end. But yeah, I mean, regardless if it's first week back, I mean, if you want somebody who's very athletic tight end who has a shot at really 10 targets, to be honest, in a game, Trey McBride's that guy. I think, he could certainly get that here. Because, like I said, the Falcons are a team you can pass on them a lot easier than you can run on them. Trey McBride's a great pick. I'm going to go with my defense start of the week. I'm going with the Steelers versus the Packers. Now, the Packers haven't shown much on offense. Yeah, that's kind of the big thing there. The Steelers have been kind of susceptible to the pass, but recently, I mean, the Steelers have picked it up against the quarterback. I think it's going to be a tough one for the Packers on the road. And it's not to mention that the Packers haven't scored over 20 points since week 2 of the NFL season. So, yeah, the Steelers are kind of a sneaky play. There are some better plays out there. But, yeah, the Steelers are, I think, a lock for a top 10 defense this week.
Yeah, I would expect them to do pretty well against Green Bay. I've got them starting in a couple of leagues, so I definitely agree. I think that they definitely get at least one turnover. 3 or 4 sacks and put up a pretty good week. I'm gonna go with the same guys 2 weeks in a row here, which is weird considering who they are, but the Raiders.
Yeah.
The Raiders are coming off back to back. So not just last week, but 2 weeks in a row, double digit fantasy points as a defense, and they've got the Jets this week. The Jets aren't a very good offense for their obvious reasons, and the Raiders are playing motivated right now, so I think the Raiders are a team that could very well be available and put up a good fantasy outing this week.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it last week. I was saying the Giants were my sit of the week because I felt like it was a trap game written all over it, because the Raiders are with new interim head coach. They just want to play for him. And yeah, I mean, it worked out to a T. I don't know if you call it a trap game, because I wouldn't say that the Giants were exactly slated to win, but it was probably a pick 'em, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, when you lose whatever it was, 30-6 or something like that, like that's you know, a no-brainer. And yeah, I like the Raiders here again this week versus the Jets. I mean, once again, we're just picking on these offenses that just aren't up to par here so far on the season. And yeah, I like that pick. I'm starting the Raiders defense over the Cleveland Browns, who are, yeah, I mean, the Browns have gotten me this far, but they're playing against the Ravens, and I'm not too excited about that. So I audibled. I put them on my bench. I didn't drop them. And I just picked up the Raiders here this week. Hopefully I can pick on Zach Wilson there in New York. Back-to-back weeks, they're playing New York teams. So maybe they just got it out for them.
Yeah, it's a good, I mean, New York football teams are good to play against this year for other squads.
Yeah, certainly. Let's go on to our sits of the week. I'm going to start here with my quarterback. And now it's a guy, you're likely not benching him because he's elite and he's a rushing quarterback, but Lamar Jackson versus the Browns. I was just talking about how I'm kind of afraid to play the Browns, but at the same time, I think it's just two great defenses, two elite defenses here on both sides of the ball with the Browns and the Ravens. And I mean, I think the over-under is about 38.5. I would smash the under on that one. But, yeah, I mean, Lamar Jackson has kind of stunk it up the last two games. It's not really his fault because they've been, I mean, Gus Edwards has ran over everybody the past couple weeks.
Yeah.
So you don't really need Lamar Jackson. But this one, the matchup isn't ideal. I'm certainly tempering expectations. I'm personally, this is probably maybe a hot take, but I'm starting Kyler over Lamar this week. The Browns are the second worst matchup for the quarterback. I mean, that's just, I'm not personally really excited about there against the Browns.
Yeah, I mean, the Browns defense is going to make it tough for anybody, especially, I mean, they're even tougher, I would say, on a running quarterback than, say, a pocket passer. But, I mean, they're loaded with talent on the defense. So it'll be interesting to see if Lamar can put up a good game or not, but yeah, it's definitely a tough one for him.
It feels a ton. I think your sit of the week last week was Justin Herbert, which was a great sit, but just as you mentioned, you said you're probably not sitting him, but I'd really highly recommend it just because the Jets, I mean, they're the worst to, you know, pass on. They're one of the best secondaries in the league, probably the best. And yeah, I mean, it's just one of those situations where you start your studs, but at the same time, kind of look at the matchups a little.
Yeah, there could be some surprising quarterbacks available that will outscore Lamar Jackson this week. I'm going to go with Brock Purdy as my sit of the week against Jacksonville on the road. Purdy has kind of, he's not playing bad. He's come back down to earth, I would say, where he is, which is still a pretty good quarterback. But fantasy-wise, not an elite quarterback, and I'd be looking at a lot of surprising names, I guess, you know, to start over Brock Purdy this week.
Yeah, it's, as you mentioned, kind of come down to earth. I mean, I think he was averaging 2 touchdowns a game for like the longest time, and then ever since the Cleveland game in week 6, it's just one touchdown, one touchdown, one touchdown. I mean, the last one last week week 8 in Cincinnati, 365 yards and, you know, and a touchdown. But it's been 3 straight weeks with, you know, he's had 5 picks in 3 games. Not ideal, especially for somebody who has been kind of that game manager, hasn't turned the ball over, which has been kind of his MO. And, yeah, I mean, what scares me is they have everybody healthy and ready to go. They're loaded up. And coming out of the bye last year, the 49ers were, you know, they were 4-4 going into the bye, and then went to the bye and came out undefeated. The great teams, they kind of make adjustments. That was kind of scares me with Brock Purdy, but he hasn't looked good recently. As you mentioned, turned over the ball a lot. How much that had to do with the concussion and everything, I mean, that's for another day. But yeah, I'm not trying to bench him, but I get it. I totally do.
Yeah.
My running back sit of the week, I'm sorry to say it here for you, but I'm going with Alexander Mattison. Vikings running back versus the Saints. And Madison's coming off his best game of the season, and he no longer has to deal with Cam Akers, which is, you know, that's always a plus for running backs. But the Saints have been stout against the run all season long. And I also think Ty Chandler, I mean, we saw a lot of him in preseason. He was getting some run. He was very explosive. People were even, you know, Vikings stands were saying that, hey, he's going to get more work than you think. Then they added Cam Akers, and that kind of put a halt to it. And then he also didn't show anything really in the season as much as we probably would have liked. But, yeah, Tyler Chandler, I think, is going to take more snaps than we like. And also, it's just not a plus matchup for Madison here this week.
Yeah, no, the Saints are a pretty decent defense. Stout against the run, like you said. And Madison really hasn't shown that much to that you're super excited about starting him anyways, I guess. So, yeah, I can definitely agree with that one. I am actually going to go with a guy who's coming back from injury, who we've kind of been waiting for, but has a matchup that looks good but is surprisingly bad. That's David Montgomery out of Detroit. The Chargers are, believe it or not, very good against the run. They just aren't so good against the pass. So I think that's going to bode well for Jared Goff or Amon-Ra St. Brown. They're going to be putting up numbers, and they're probably going to ease Montgomery back in, not give him a full workload against, again, a team that's surprisingly good against the run.
Yeah, I'm curious of how they actually have that worked up. Montgomery is a guy, I think right now he had another, I mean, he's practicing a full, so he's going to be playing here this week. I want to see how they divvy it up. I mean, they're a team that's winning. They certainly have their eyes on the playoffs, and they're still a ways away. But, yeah, I mean, with how Jahmyr Gibbs has been running, I'm curious how they deploy him. Certainly could ease him back into the work. It's not his first injury of the season that's made him miss any time. So, yeah, I'm fully on board with that.
And his replacement didn't look so bad either.
Looked like the 12th overall pick. I mean, he looked as advertised. Yeah. So
yeah,
we're really hoping they ease him back in. I have him in a lot of leagues. I'm thankful to have him back. I don't know how much. Like I said, we don't know how it's going to play out just yet. Especially since Jahmyr Gibbs looked good in his absence. Had he looked bad, we would kind of be like, okay, probably a Montgomery show here even more. But yeah, it's Jahmyr Gibbs has just been too good to kind of put him on the back burner, if you will. So I want to see how that pans out. And his first game back from injury and the matchup versus the Chargers could get a little out of hand there.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm going to go with my wide receiver sit of the week. If you thought I was going spicy with Lamar as my sit of the week, wait till you hear this one. I'm going Davante Adams versus the Jets. I mean... Okay. You must start your studs, but he's been abysmal over the past month plus. Here are his last five games. 6, 3, 9, 1, and 5. That's how many fantasy points he scored. I mean, that's half point scoring. He didn't hit 10 or over 10 in any single one of those weeks. He's just been abysmal. He's been killing your fantasy teams because you've started him just strictly off of name. And then now he gets the worst possible matchup. You know, we just talked about it with Sauce Gardner and the Jets. I mean, it's about as bad as it can get. I've got a kind of would you rather play. I know you like these.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go, would you start Davante Adams versus the Jets or Tank Dell versus the Bengals, assuming that Nico Collins, who just got downgraded after a limited practice to out, he probably is not going to suit up here versus the Bengals. Assuming Tank Dell's alone versus Cincinnati, who would you rather play?
Yeah, I think I'd have to go with Tank Dell in that situation because I think we both, you know, assume that's going to be a pretty high-scoring game with Joe Burrow being back. So they're going to be throwing the ball as often as Houston throws the ball, which is very often, and for a lot of yardage and a lot of touchdowns, and, you know, it's worked out very well for them.
All right, I got another one here for you. How about a Zay Flowers versus the Browns?
Ooh, okay, that one's kind of tough because the Browns are up there with defense too. I'd stick with Adams being the stud against a good defense instead of a rookie who's very good, but he's no Davante Adams.
Agree. I agree. Last one here. Jordan Addison versus the Saints or Davante Adams versus the Jets?
Ooh, that's a tough one too, because I mean, I like, obviously, my Homer heart is
Yeah.
with Minnesota, and Dobbs did fill in well, but I think I'd probably still take Adams just because, I mean, Dobbs is still learning that playbook, which, the fact that he played all right with without knowing anyone's name or taking one snap with the practice is pretty impressive, but
Yeah.
you got to assume that that's going to come back down to earth probably pretty quickly.
Yeah, and I'm with you on all three of those picks. Like I said, I'll play Adams before I play Jordan Addison, but I'll know that the ceiling isn't there just simply because, like I said, the Jets they've only allowed one t a passing touchdown, or sorry, rather receiving touchdown to wide receivers here on the season. So yeah, you just know that oh, even a one touchdown game really isn't in the cards. Even if it is, yeah, it's not really exciting there. Tank Dell, like I said, is somebody I would certainly play above him. If Nico Collins is in, maybe I still go Adams. But yeah, Tank Dell is. I mean, they've just been passing the ball way too much. And coming off of the week he just had, yeah, I think I'm starting him in a lot of leagues going forward. Who's your wide receiver sit of the week?
So it's Diontae Johnson from Pittsburgh, who is actually coming off a pretty strong last performance against the
Yeah.
Titans, where he had 90 yards. Kind of seemed like he was back, but Green Bay, they've been kind of soft against the run, but they are strong against the pass. And while they're not the Jets or they're not Cleveland, they have definitely shut down the game. And I think that Diontae Johnson doesn't have a very good week this week.
Yeah, Packers, I think, are top 10 against the pass, well, against wide receivers so far on the season. So yeah, it's temper expectations. He's been getting a ton of work. I mean, you've seen it with how Pickens has played, right? It's just he's absorbed all of his work, it seems like. I would expect that to kind of regress. It should be Pickens shouldn't be getting so few targets. I mean, he had negative yards last week, so yeah, you should. Should see like a little bit more of a regression there from Diontae Johnson if that happens, especially in this kind of matchup where not necessarily ideal. And I think the Steelers win this game. I think you had Najee Harris, right, as your running back start of the week. I think that the Steelers win this game, and it could very well be, they're up by one and or even just two, a two score game, and they just run the ball a ton because that's something that you could certainly do against them.
Yeah, I would see a defensive and running game plan coming from Pittsburgh is what I would expect.
Yeah. Tight end sit of the week. I'm going to go here with a guy who's caught a touchdown in back-to-back games. I'm going with David Njoku at the Ravens. We're kind of picking on this matchup because this matchup here has been, I mean, it's just very defense heavy. So you could, outside of probably Mark Andrews, you could sit everybody, and I would be like, okay, I totally understand that. Even if you wanted to go Mark Andrews, I mean, that'd be kind of silly just given his talent and the tight end landscape. But yeah, David Njoku is a guy I'm not trying to plug into my lineup. He's been great over the last 2 weeks, but well, really 3 weeks. I mean, 5 for 45 on 9 targets. The week before that, he's getting a ton of work, but matchup isn't great. Over the course of the season, the Ravens are the fourth best against the tight end position, trying to avoid basically everybody in this matchup.
Yeah, no, it's as you said, smash the under matchup. So it's not looking great for anyone. Of course, you have to start Mark Andrews unless
Yeah.
you somehow have like Taysom Hill that you were able to pick up and you feel like gambling a little. But
Oof, that's spicy. But he's been crazy good, so yeah.
he's I mean, Taysom Hill. I'm on the Taysom Hill is elite train, so I'm gonna go with Evan Ingram taking on those San Francisco 49ers. So while the Niners haven't been good against receivers, they've been quite good against tight ends. And so it just makes sense that the Jaguars would target the Calvin Ridleys more than they'd target the Evan Ingrams, unless And here's the unless they line up Ingram in the slot because they're weak against slot receivers. But I think Christian Kirk probably takes that.
Yeah, that's why I was saying with my Calvin Ridley take of my start of the week at the wide receiver position, I was like, it could be a Kirk week because of that little stat. So, yeah, I mean, Ingram is a guy, he might be somebody you have to play just purely off volume. He's had seven or more targets every single week of the season outside of week one. So just getting a plethora of volume in that respect. He hasn't caught a touchdown on the season, which is kind of crazy for how much volume he's got. But as you mentioned, the 49ers, while you can pass on him, the tight end position has been something they've been a little bit better against, than especially since against the wide receiver in comparison. So yeah, Evan Ingram, temper expectations with him for sure. And I'm going with I'm staying in that same game. I'm sitting the Jaguars defense versus the 49ers. You know, we were kind of indifferent on Brock Purdy a little bit, but I mean, the Jags, they've been a top 12 fantasy defense on the season, which I was a little surprised on that, but I'll take it just to prove my point here a little bit more. But that's including their bye week. So, you know, top 12, and they've had a bye in there, which is for 0 points. Yeah, I mean, the 49ers, they have struggled recently, but they're, like I said, everybody's healthy. And I think just coming out of that bye, they're great teams. We just see them, you know, kind of make adjustments. We've seen it year after year with great teams doing that. And I think they're going to show the Jags, you know, they still mean business. They're not going to be putting up 17 points. So I think this is a real game that has like a shootout potential. I think the over-under is about 45, and maybe I'll take the over on that.
Yeah, no, Jacksonville, I mean, they've got the stud of quarterback. They've got a couple great receivers. I mean, they've got a talented tight end. It's just San Francisco's good against the tight end, but they've got plenty of talent there, so I could see them scoring a lot more points than one would expect.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm going to go, I actually might talk about a couple teams here. One, I'm sitting the Saints against the Vikings. My Vikings, it doesn't matter who plays quarterback, they're going to score some points. Doesn't matter if they have Justin Jefferson, they're going to score some points. Hey, the Vikings offense is for real. And, you know, it's mostly their passing offense, which is why we're sitting Alexander Mattison. But, you know, they're good for 20-something points a game. And, yeah, I think that they give the Saints more trouble than people are going to think. One ranking this week had me really confused because it's super high. But people are saying start the Seahawks this week against Washington, and I'm going the opposite side of that. I mean, Sam Howell, I don't know what he has to do to get some respect, but he's earned my respect. I mean, that's a powerful passing offense there with an okay running game, and I don't think it's going to be as easy for Seattle as everyone else seems to think.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked with that as well. I saw a lot of a lot of people have in the Seahawks as kind of like a, if you will, a streaming defense. And that's, I think, one, a little funny after getting kind of blown out by the Ravens. But yeah, I mean, Sam Howell is the real deal. We need to notice that and realize that. We talk
yeah,
about
I mean,
it.
I guess he'll get sacked a lot, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Which maybe.
He'll put a point.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess if you're taking just the points from sacks, it kind of boosts the floor. So while I could get that point there, yeah, I don't, as a defense in general, the Seahawks, I'm not super excited about it. I mean, it's I don't think it's the same situation of like the Raiders, right? Raiders versus Jets.
Yeah.
It's not the same situation of where it's like a mediocre defense versus a abysmal offense. It's not quite that. The Commanders offense is very good. So, and they're putting up points, putting up yards, and yeah, I don't know why it's really a one that people want to pick on there. So yeah, I'm totally cool with that pick. But I was surprised that I was looking at Josh Dobbs' stats here real quick. I was like, okay, he's only thrown 5 picks in 9 games. That's pretty good. Certainly good for a backup quarterback who's just kind of been, you know, traveling around and doing that. I hadn't noticed how many times he had fumbled so far in the season. He has fumbled quite a bit. He's got 11 fumbles so far on the season, lost about half of them. So,
yeah, he had a couple last week, unfortunately, but you know, again, I'll give him a pass for taking zero snaps with the starting offense, or I think just zero snaps period. So
Yeah, certainly, certainly. I mean, it was just two great games. I was trying to think of what my game of the week was, whether it was the the Texans versus the Bucks, or this Minnesota game versus Atlanta. And I had to pick the Josh Dobbs coming in, not knowing anybody's name, saying hi, it's my first day here kind of thing, and then just beating Arthur Smith, who isn't deploying Bijan Robinson properly. I feel like is just adds icing on the cake. So yeah, for to watch Arthur Smith lose back-to-back weeks against a backup quarterback is more than ideal for me. So I had to go with the Vikings matchup, and I know you obviously would go with that one as well. It was such a great game.
That was a great game.
Yeah, so I'm glad that happened for you, Jonah. I think we got to everything we wanted to get to here this week. How about you go ahead and sign us off and let them know where they can find more of us if they want to indulge on some more topics from Draft Dive.
Yeah, so of course the website, draftdive.com, and then on Twitter at draftdive and at underscore Colt Williams, and our Patreon page, Patreon slash draftdive as well.
Yeah, so check that out. We've had some bets on there recently as well, right? And I
Yeah.
saw you were mentioned on the Twitter.
Yep, went 4 for 4 this past week, which was a nice, 16-to-1 parlay as well, if you did all four of them, which I did, so I was pretty happy.
Yeah, we'll take those. I mean, like I said, give us a little bit of give us an inch, give us more than 50%. We'll take it. I mean, that's you want the better's odds there. So yeah, we'll take that for sure. And yeah, so we'll go ahead. We'll wrap it up here. We will see you guys back on Monday for the waiver wire episode.
Yep, thank you all for listening.